I'm Josh.
And I was playing chicken, and you lost, Josh, because you said it first, because I'm Sean.
What? This is the senior discount episode.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, if we did one episode a year, this would be the show we retired on. Man. The AARP episode of Cracking the Spine.
I can't wait until I'm 65.
Why? What are you going to do when you're 65?
He's going to get senior discounts at Denny's.
Senior discount. Go to the movies.
You have to go to eat dinner at like 3 in the afternoon.
Who cares?
Let's go. I'm ready.
That sounds like Josh. That's when Josh wakes up. Yep. You can eat breakfast.
Wait, what? I said dinner.
Breakfast. You can have dinner for breakfast.
Yeah.
No, you can steak have breakfast eggs. For dinner.
You can do both. A nice lobster for breakfast.
This is an upside-down episode of Cracking the Spine, where night is day and hamburgers eat people.
Cats and dogs living together.
This episode, number 65, is brought to you by Burger King $1.49 chicken nuggets.
It's not $1.49, bro.
For 10.
I brought 20. I got... Josh 20. I brought Josh 20 so chicken nuggets from Burger King. Because
Josh won't shut up about
$3.16 with tax in Pennsylvania.
I wanted them last night.
But you got them tonight, so you're welcome.
He's been eating them.
I ate like 7 of them.
All right. Zane, what are you reading?
I am still reading I'm Thinking of Ending Things. I got interrupted.
Okay.
Because I received my copy of A Gray Man by Luke Gelheiser, our listener.
Spacebots!
So I kind of put I'm Thinking of Ending Things down while I read A Gray Man.
So you started A Gray Man?
I finished A Gray
wow,
Man.
Wow, wait, oh, so you, wow.
Oh, here we go.
You shawned it this week.
Yeah, I did a little.
All right.
I was kind of hoping, I was trying to finish I'm Thinking of Ending Things today so that I could
be so you can come push it in my face?
Yeah. This is turning into a book's arms race over
but
here.
I could, right?
So how was, okay, so what are you thinking about, I'm Thinking of Ending Things?
It's good. It's like, I would say I'm like halfway through it and it's starting to get really unsettling.
Okay.
Which... is, I think, like, the point like, this story. Like, that's definitely what they're going for. And it's really effective. It's really unsettling without being, like, scary.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's going to get scary or anything. Like, and that's kind of what I'm enjoying about this book is, like, I have no idea where we're going. I don't know where it's headed at all. And so it's, like, genuinely a mystery to me. And I'm really enjoying, like, this whole thing as it unfolds.
It's well written, isn't it?
It's very well written.
Yeah.
It's
are there $1.49 nuggets by this author. In the book?
If there were, would you read it?
Maybe.
Like if you open the page and there's like a
nuggets
nugget
in it? Yeah. Every time you turn the page, there's a nugget.
It's like a reward system.
Yeah.
As the person who edits the show, it would be great if you keep putting your hand over your mouth every time you talk.
Do you like it like this?
Yeah, like that. That'd be great.
More like this?
Please. More okay. of that. Yeah.
It's perfect. Very radio friendly.
So how is A Gray Man?
It was good. It speaking of unsettling.
Okay.
It was very disturbing.
Was this our book club pick? I can't remember how.
No,
where
they
it
settled
up...
on Chuck Tingle.
Okay.
shockingly.
Which one? I slammed in the butt by my own butt.
By the nomination.
Existential dread that I might be. I think that's the one that they nominated.
Okay.
Right.
We should probably read it because they they're waiting for us to comment on
so,
it.
So, yeah. A Gray Man is it's very short. It's 117 pages. I finished it very quickly. But he packs. It's like written. Like journal entries and they're very short, but he packed so much information. Like I was really, sort of blown away. Cause I kind of like paged through the book and I was like, wow, this is short, but I was like really impressed by how much he was able to fit into these like little concise journal entries.
Will you let me read it? May I borrow your copy?
Yes.
Right now course. We're doing a podcast.
I don't mean right. I could probably finish it by the time you tell me what you're not reading, Josh, but I just meant in general.
Speaking of arms race.
Oh my God.
But I mean, I liked it. It was really, it reminded me kind of like a Chuck Palahniuk story.
Okay.
Cause it was like very, like he did not hold any punches.
Well done, Luke.
Like it was... It
but
was very
no nuggets.
Effective in that way.
Were there any parts of it that had anything to do with Burger King chicken nuggets, which is apparently the only thing relevant to Josh's interests this week?
No, but it is about food.
Okay. Well. All right. I mean, you got to start somewhere, right?
So.
It's a first novel.
next time.
You know, if I'm editing and I'm Josh, maybe some more Burger King chicken nuggets.
I could be your editor, Luke, guys. I noticed there's no nuggets in this book either.
I was impressed mostly because it's sort of, when you know someone, not that I even really know Space Butts, but, you know, like, I don't actually know this person, but, like, the idea of, like, someone being like, I wrote this novel,
someone you read that we it, have an interaction, like, oh interaction my god,
like, I could not yeah, do that. I can't even think of a story that's worth telling. How do you do that? So right. It was just so impressive to, like, get this hard copy.
I'm saving my autobiography for when I turn 65.
What's it going to be called?
Chicken nuggets are good. Also,
Riveting.
I went into space yesterday.
All right. Because it's the future.
Yeah, because it's 65.
I get it.
Like 90 years in the future.
Sean, mm-hmm. What are you reading?
I'm still reading War Porn.
How is that?
I don't remember this.
By Roy Scranton?
Yes, Roy Scranton is his name, and he is an Iraq vet who, I only know this based on reading the About the Author. He dropped out of college, he enlisted, and he went and he did two, maybe three tours in Iraq, like in the first part of the war, when we still thought, like, well, this is going to be over really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back and he got his master's degree in English and fine writing from Princeton. And this is his first novel. And it's very, it reminds me of Vonnegut in a way. And I don't mean that as a dig, because if you know anything about me from listening to the early episodes of the show, I fucking hate Kurt Vonnegut.
Wow.
But he's the most overrated author of all time.
Oh my god.
So cards are on the table, man. But it's this very, like, this mix between flashback, current time, and there's these sort of, like, stream of consciousness, almost poetry parts of the book. It's much more literary than I thought it was going to be based on the description of it. Like, the description I thought was going to be more Chuck Palahniuk than Jonathan Franzen. It's much more, like, it feels like an Oprah Book Club kind of pick.
Yeah.
But it's very clearly written by someone who, you know, did that. Like, was there and fought in the war. Because it's that idea, like, the chapter I just finished, the book's not out yet, but I feel like I'm not giving anything away. The chapter I just finished was, it's a flashback to his unit going out. It's not an autobiography, it's a novel. But it's the character's unit going out on a mission, and they get in their Humvee, they look at a map, and they're like, okay, they're in downtown Baghdad. And they're like, okay, we have to get to the MPs who have been attacked by the Mujahideen. And they're like, okay, we have to make the second left, and then the second left after that. And then they get out on the road, and the commanding officer's like, first left, make the left. And he's like, "We, you said the second left. No, turn here." Mm-hmm. And then they back up, and then they call back to base, and they're like, that's not where we're supposed to go. And, like, nobody knows what's going on. It's like that thing about the war, that nobody knows what's going on.
Right.
And nobody is responsible.
Yep,
and
no accountability. It's just whatever.
And no mission. Like, it's
what are we doing?
Yeah.
We're driving around. That's what we're doing.
It's kind of depressing in that regard. But he's a really, really good writer. So that's it. Like, I haven't had a whole lot of time to read anything else. Although a friend of mine gave me a Mad Magazine compilation book from 1962.
Wait, when did Mad Magazine start?
1962.
I think it was 1958, would be my guess.
That's the year my mom was born.
What is bathroom reading?
Did they make good Game of Thrones puns?
Yeah.
In 1958?
Not at that point, no.
What else is in Mad Magazine?
What were they talking about in 1958?
There's the...
Gremlin Joe!
How to go fishing.
Okay.
And the different kinds of fishing you can do. A lot of... There's actually a jailbait joke in there.
Okay.
That seems a little weird to me, and a lot of jokes about,
well, that was like okay then, right?
How, like, the gals stay home and the guys don't want anything to do with them.
Isn't that just the way it is?
Exactly. Like, that's pretty much the gist of it. Josh, what are you reading?
I'm still reading the Olympus book. What is it called? White City. Devil in the White City.
Oh, the Olympus.
I haven't had a chance to read a lot more of it, but I like it.
Keeping you interested?
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough read. I would say for me.
Okay.
There's lots of... It's very dense. There are big words. I'm not afraid to admit it. Not a single chicken nugget yet, though. What the fuck?
I didn't write it. Eric Larson, if you're listening... I mean, sorry. Eric Larson, since you're listening...
Yeah.
Next book, Chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets.
Know your audience, man.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're enjoying it.
It's... Yeah, no, yeah. It's a weird. It's like a, I don't think I've ever read a book like that, and I don't know if
like
it's
written in that style.
Yeah, like it's like a historical, but like actually like happened, but it's yeah. fiction because
what it's I found weird about that book when I was reading it was like I would feel like I would put in a really good chunk of time reading, mm-hmm. and then I'd have read like 25 pages.
Yeah,
I was like what? That's like I was just reading like for too,
yeah.
hours.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so dense. Even, honestly, just the way that it's printed.
Yeah.
Like, the type is so small.
It's like I'm reading a dossier.
Yeah, like, it was just so dense, and I would feel like I was, like, chugging along the book, and I'm like, getting this done, and I'm reading it, good for me, and, you know, and
yeah,
it's
that's
like,
how
oh
I
my
feel
god,
too.
I read, like, 10 pages.
Yeah, I read, like, 10 pages, and I'm like, oh my god, I gotta, like, stop. Yeah. I gotta take a break. My mind muscle isn't as big.
It's getting there. Eat some more nuggets.
Nuggets are brain food.
You need
food.
Brain food, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of taking a break, which Josh just did, that's a good segue. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Talk about his stuff.
You're welcome. Back to Cracking the Spine. I'm Josh.
I'm Zane.
Episode 65, which is what Josh meant to say.
Yeah, that's the one we're doing.
I'm Sean. Zane, what are we talking about this week?
Today we are talking about a topic submitted on our subreddit by Banjo Story.
I love that story. My favorite story.
He wrote, about books as being a smarter, quote-unquote, way of consuming media than movies, TV, video games, radio, audiobooks, etc. There's always been this implication that reading is something that makes you smarter, or is at the very least something that is enjoyed by smarter people relative to other forms of media. Why do you think that exists? Is it just a matter of being the media that makes you work the hardest to get the full experience? Is it a cultural degeneration thing where it's more a matter of people thinking poorly of the newer forms of media? Do you think there's any truth behind it?
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that Josh and I are going to disagree this week.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Because I think that reading a book is the more intelligent way to consume an idea or a medium.
I agree. I think I'm going to say I agree 60%. There's exceptions to this. I think this is a more complicated. I don't think there's a blanket. I think smarter people enjoy reading in higher quantities of people. You know, like more smart people like to read.
Like the intelligentsia more, right,
prefers reading.
Okay.
Right. Or maybe they prefer reading. I don't know, like not over like TV watching or movie watching. I would say that. Films, though, and not, like, you know, Age of Ultron. Like, some movies can, like, stimulate your mind in a intelligent way, but not all movies do that. Whereas, I think, even if you read a shitty book, you're still exercising your brain.
This is not where I thought I was going to disagree with you, but I actually disagree with what you said there. Because I think that ultimately, a book is a more intellectual way to engage an idea or a media.
Yeah.
Like, not a medium. That's not the way to say it. But, to approach expanding your knowledge base or expanding your horizons, books greater than movies.
I think, for the most part, I agree with that.
70, I was going to say about 70 to 80%
yeah.
accuracy.
Yeah.
But, I think that watching There Will Be Blood, the film, is better than reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Yes.
I think that's a more intellectually stimulating pursuit.
Absolutely. That's what I mean. I think that it's not as one-sided as maybe it appears. But I definitely agree that, like, reading is more apt to create some sort of like muscle in you. Like, yeah. Like you have to do two things.
It's active.
You're doing something.
Watching
right?
a movie is very passive.
Right.
Reading is very active.
And watching some movies can be sort of not active, but less passive, I would say. Like if you're watching like 2001 for the first time, like you're like, what? You know? But that's, you're still like letting it wash over you. Whereas reading, if you were reading 2001, you'd have to imagine those things.
And but I also feel like Zane was going to come down exactly in the middle of us with
God
this
damn
thing.
It. I fucking hate Zane.
No, I don't. I love Zane a lot.
This is where we disagree.
There's the point. I think that Zane was going to be like, well, I think there's space for both. Zane, am I speaking too much for you?
Oh, no. Are we getting... Are we predictable?
Am I predictable? I got excited when I read this topic because I was like, this is something I can do research on.
Oh, research!
And I was a little surprised that I couldn't find that much research on this.
Interesting.
Well, there's no movies about it.
Which I feel like once a year I see like some clickbait article that's like, study shows that reading is really good for your brain, you know? And I was like, so there's definitely, there's at least like, there's going to be statistics out there or something. And I didn't find too much. I found a little bit. But basically what I found was that reading anything, even something really simple, something just really straightforward, basically increases blood flow to your brain.
Oh,
like there's
man.
Something about
Stop.
The activity that thank you. There's something about that activity that it actually does exercise your brain. It increases your brain activity, like immediately, even if you're reading Mad Magazine
or
like,
a shampoo
reading
bottle.
Anything
oh.
or a shampoo bottle.
Mad Magazine. Oh, I see. Both things at me.
It activates your brain. And so in that way, like, yes, reading is like a...
Right.
It's a stimulating activity.
I don't grow up, Josh.
The blood's going to my brain boner.
But I did, a lot of what I found was, interestingly, what I found was sort of defensive blog articles about how movies and TV and comic books and all other kinds of stuff absolutely can stimulate your brain and, you know, can make you more intelligent and all that stuff.
Right.
And it was all blog stuff. So I ended up not really writing anything down because...
Well, yeah. Who could forget the video store of Alexandria that burned down in ancient times? And
but
the
I
blockbuster
think,
of Alexandria?
Like, there's definitely something to be said for challenging films that challenge you not just in the story, but in, like, visual cues and things like that.
Yeah.
And it does... I'm sure, stimulate your brain to some degree. But I think sort of wrapped up in all of this is that those are much... And Banjo Story touched on this in his sort of little description. those were Sean Claxons, in case you couldn't tell.
I got afraid.
You startled him. These are all
perfectly good klaxons.
These
good.
Are all newer forms of
That's
media.
A good point. That's a
and
good point.
And I think that a lot of this sort of, even like aside, like medical research aside, I think there is sort of a stigma attached to reading and like and being an intellectual because back in the day, that's where you got
that's
your
how you had to do
from.
It. Yeah,
there
was
no choice.
You couldn't
be
right?
well educated.
Yeah.
You couldn't be an intellectual without reading because you couldn't get this information
right.
anywhere else.
You had to read.
And so there is. I think some of it's just, it's become, like, part of our social construct. Like, reading is...
Yeah, but I think rightfully so. I think that...
Well, this, and that's sort of my point.
Okay.
Like, I think it's a little bit of both. Like, we're sort of mired in this, like, cultural norm of the only way to get quality information is by reading.
Mm-hmm.
But additionally, medically speaking, reading more than... watching a movie more than watching a TV show or listening to a podcast, or you might
Except
even be able to
one.
Make the argument reading and or listening to an audiobook stimulates your brain.
Yeah.
Reading, it stimulates your brain more than anything
else. It's active, like Sean said, and I agree
that's
with
why
that.
You feel, it's an action. That's why you feel like even if you're reading something really crappy, even if you read 50 Shades of Grey, like at least you were reading.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I think that's kind of the way that you feel because it is, you are actually exercising your brain. Like that sounds like something that like a Mommy and Me group would say, you know, like, well, it's exercise for your brain, but like, it turns out that's actually true.
But I feel like I'm on the side of selling short new media and by new media, I mean things developed
in the 20th century.
Well, since the written word, I mean, you know, like visual media,
right.
You know, motion picture,
yeah.
Be that video or television or film, whatever it is. And that's not my, you know, that's not my point. Me personally, like, for example, if I wanted to learn how to use Adobe After Effects, it would be much more useful for me to watch a lynda.com video tutorial than to buy the, you know,
book
After Effects for Dummies book.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's something about like, that, but that's new media, like, on
centric.
The same level.
I would say that, with that specific example, it's just a means to get you to actually do it faster, which will help you to learn it faster, because the only way you can do that stuff learn how to do it is to do it. Like, you can, like, watch, like, videos all you want, but until you do it, you know, because, like, I edit all the time and stuff, like, it's a perishable skill. If you don't do it, you forget it.
What I was going to say, you know, my comparison was going to be, like, there's probably a Lynda video on the Greek pantheon of gods, you know, that you could probably sit down and watch, you know, the 6-minute video that explains all the major gods of Greece. But I think that it's not as valuable as sitting down and reading Edith Hamilton's mythology.
Yeah.
And
well, when we start getting into that, though, you do have to take into consideration that different people learn in different ways.
Agreed.
Like, when you start talking about that, like, yes, there are actual benefits to reading something, but any kid who struggled through school can tell you, like, sometimes you have a tactile learner, sometimes you have, like, an audio learner.
That means touch.
Sometimes, you know, like, not everyone can retain information by just reading it.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, when you start getting into that stuff, like, I understand the point that you're trying to make, but we also have to make allowances for the fact that, like, people learn in all different kinds of ways, and the fact that some people can't sit down and read, like, those videos exist because some people sit down to read those books and cannot absorb the information.
I do not mean to dismiss those people at all or that point of view, and that's why I said, like, for certain things, you know, like learning a new program or learning analytics or whatever it is, that, you know, that video tutorials work better for me in the way that I learn than reading a book would, just like for a lot of other things. But you know, those people would be better served with new media. But I think that because of the history of history, we're getting so deep into it. Like last week was so...
We go right to the...
Well, last
week
was so,
source.
Like, personal, and I think this week is so big and meta.
Mm-hmm.
It's very big, yeah.
I think that for so long, basically since the development of the written word, our species has been so dependent on writing, you know, when it was just the oral tradition.
Well, that might be part of it too. We might just think that because
that's what I mean.
We don't have another thing.
We have 200,000 years. We have 200,000 years of, you know, writing and reading, and only what, 100, maybe 200.
We have like 200,000 years of speaking, and then 7,000 years of writing that we know of.
Okay, good. Okay, but then only 100 to 150 years of visual.
Right, photographs, and I think of it as like a different language, and I'm going to throw my mom under the bus a lot. My mom reads all the time. She reads like 2 books a week. She's crazy. She's a crazy person.
I read 2 books a week.
She's crazier than you. She's like, she like reads like crazy, but she cannot watch a movie. She can't understand the language of a film.
Does she remember the things that she reads? Like, is she...
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, she'll, like sit there and, like, be like, oh, I read this and this, and, like, I love talking to her about that stuff. And I'll be like, oh, it's, like, in this movie. And she'll be like, yeah, I saw that once, I think.
See, and, I think some of that might be tied into, like, she just genuinely doesn't care about visual media.
Right.
But that's kind of a great example of, like, someone who needs to learn and absorb information in a certain way. Mm. Like, some people can only understand something when it's written on a page in front of them. Yeah. And some people can only understand it when it's presented to them visually.
Right.
You know, and it's so interesting to me how different that is. And some people, like, because I don't know, like, it's very dependent on the type of text that I'm reading. Like, yeah. I could never get through my history textbooks, but, like, I can read a novel, no problem, yeah. you know? But, like, I have known so many people, especially in school, who, like, cannot learn on, like, visual media.
I don't separate them, honestly. Like, I never did. Like, I watched movies when I was, like, really, really little, and I do like to read. I don't think that there's a separation there, you know? Because, like, maybe because of, like, what, like, I do or, like, we do also is, like, if you want to read a script, like, you have to read a script before you watch a movie. So you're reading. You're still having to use your imagination to think of, like, what's that going to look like visually. I don't know. I don't think that there's a difference a lot of times.
The original question that was asked by Banjo Story was, you know, is reading something that is either done by or perceived to be done by smarter people?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I think the perception is, yeah, I think the perception in general society, intelligentsia, is that, yeah, you know, it's much more intelligent for a person to say that I've read the book than I saw the movie. Or, you know, I'm reading versus I'm watching, you know, a sports event.
Well, there are so very, I'm only speaking for, like, film and television, like, there are very few instances where I can, like, say, like, okay, this is, like, a remarkable piece of art. Like, that doesn't happen, like, all the time. Like, it doesn't. Like, there are, like, movies that come out that are, they're just pure sugar, pure candy for your brain, and then there are movies that come out and you're like, holy shit, this is, like, a once-in-a-lifetime, like, magnum opus.
I feel like, though, it's the same with books. Like, you know, I loved... This is not... I don't want to poo-poo on my own previous love for a book that I'm about to mention, one that's coming out the week that this episode goes up, but Joe Hill's The Fireman, mm-hmm. right? I loved it. Like, I was captivated by it. It took me away. You know, I feel like it's, you know, a contemporary classic. I don't know that in 5 years anyone is going to be talking about it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that literature gets more of a pass.
Yeah.
Per se, than
it's harder to write a
visual
book.
Media. That well, yeah, it's,
it
well,
is.
It's not. I don't know if it's harder to write a book, but I think it's harder to get it recognized.
Well, okay. Here's another thing too that comes into play. When you're writing a book, it's you. You're writing a book. Mm-hmm. When you're making a movie, it's hundreds of people.
Right. It's a collaborative.
So it becomes this, like, whole different, like, game. It's sort of it's like a different language again. It's like liking paintings as opposed to liking, like,
photographs.
Right. Like, what's, you know.
But I think kind of what you're getting at, Sean, is that, like, even when you're reading, like, I don't want to say subpar, but, like, not the most stimulating or, like, most intelligent books, you still feel like you're doing something good for yourself. And I think this is where people sort of, because I was just thinking about like, art as one of these, like, mediums that can, like, sort of stimulate your brain. And, you know, and there's a lot of, I've always liked really modern art, and I just have no patience for classical art. Like, it just doesn't,
I like the art with the boobies.
It doesn't make me feel things most of the time.
I'm the complete opposite of you.
And
just in this regard.
But I meet a lot of people, you know, you meet so many people who are like, you know, well, I'm going to the Museum of Fine Art today. And it's like, well, congratulations. You know, like, because it's, and I think reading has sort of become this similar thing where it's like, well, I read the book. You know,
yeah,
it's like, well,
yeah,
your award's coming in the mail. You know, and it's like,
I feel like,
but you know, like, but there is something about that, like, being stimulated in that way that you feel, even if you're reading, like, trash, you do feel mm-hmm. like you're bettering yourself. And that's why I was so fascinated to read the very small amount of studies that I read today about...
Do more research. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I couldn't find a lot, you fucking asshole.
Blogs, Zane!
I didn't want to write down blogs.
Listicles!
I thought I could get that for that.
Top 10 reasons why reading gives you a brain boner.
Anyway, like, they were taking MRIs of people as they were reading, like, Shakespeare, and then they were also Neil's reading, ready like, to eat. That they were also doing the same thing, but they were reading like updated modern translations of Shakespeare.
Yeah. So was there
and
a
apparently
difference?
There was not much difference between the two. But what was interesting was that just reading stimulated your brain.
Yeah,
and so I think like on the one hand, I get kind of I don't have a lot of patience for people you know who are like, well, I read the book. You know, it's like okay, whatever. You know, it's the same people who are like, I don't even own a TV. It's like, wow, great, you're amazing.
Man, I'm like the second one.
But on the other hand, like there is some, there's like a little bit of justification there because you are actually doing yourself a great service by reading.
It's an
even if you're
again,
reading 50 Shades of Grey.
It's an action. And anytime that you're doing an action, like playing music or something, it's meditative. And I know I bring this up a lot, but it fixes you. Like for whatever reason, human beings need to do something. Like,
yeah.
You need to do stuff.
Well, and that's the other thing that I was thinking about was maybe in terms of like, you know, like your intellectual stimulation, reading has an advantage. But to me, the most central part, since I mostly read novels, the most central part of it is like, this is how we communicate stories. Like, what is more human than telling stories in any medium?
Right.
And so like that, certainly that part of the human experience is not lost across any of,
absolutely.
You know, any of these, any of the media, like whether you're watching a movie or watching a TV show or listening to an audiobook or a podcast,
you're still partaking
in
the greatest pastime of all time.
Exactly. Like it's in that way, I don't think there is a more superior or like smarter.
Right. I agree with
because,
that.
Like that. Intellectualism aside, like that was my first sort of response to the question was like, but we're just telling stories.
Right. There
it doesn't
be
matter
that much
how
of a
you hear the story.
Right. Yeah.
And it turns out like medically there might be, but like,
but again, I think it goes back to that thing of like, I tossed it out as an idea that, you know, because we've been doing it for so long as a culture that one way, you know, it's that Chuck Klosterman idea of, is it important because we do it now,
right?
And we've been doing it, or is it important because it's important? You know, what I mean? Like,
right?
Do books make us smarter because books make us smarter, or do books make us smarter because for thousands of years, smart people have had access to books,
right?
Or
exactly.
Rich people have had access to books,
right, exactly.
And therefore they have moved to a higher position of status, and therefore they have been deemed to be smarter.
I would say, in my opinion, that could be proven totally wrong, and I have nowhere to stand, that this is all a part of just the natural evolution of how intelligent beings do things. Like, we will, like, books will never go away. There's always going to be reading. But there's always going to be more, like, we're going to always want more ways to tell stories. Like, it's just going to naturally happen that way.
Yeah.
I think another thing with movies, though, too, is it's a social thing, which makes it less, like, serious, right? Because you go to the movies with your friends, or you watch TVs with
it becomes a peer pressure kind of thing, you know? Like, if you love the movie... After, like, when the credits start rolling and you're like, oh my god, I loved it. Mm. And you turn to the guy that was sitting to the left and the guy sitting right of you, and they both hated it.
I don't go with the movies with people.
Don't disprove your own point after you just brought
it
up.
Thank you. I was really trying to boost your point. Because what I wanted to get back to is, you know, maybe the real question is, and boy, is this a whole other topic for a whole other podcast.
Oh, man, we're getting
Do we need to challenge the meaning of what smarter means?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Because, like, societally...
That's a relative-ass statement.
Most people would tell you that a senator who sits in Congress mm-hmm. is smarter than
yeah.
a plumber who can come fix your pipes.
Right.
But ultimately,
how many people do you know?
Can that senator fix his own pipes? Yeah.
Right?
How many people
like,
do you know
what,
can fix
like,
their pipes?
If if the water goes, who would you rather have on your side?
Who's smarter? The person who is a senator who may get voted out of office, or the trash man who always has a job?
Exactly. That's
he's
what
a
I mean.
Fucking trash man.
Like, you know, and I think that, you know, the new dynamic, this is, again, we're getting so far afield of this without.
What are we talking about?
Right, exactly. You know, like
me not know
everything being so
chicken nuggets
roboticized and you know turned into machines and drones
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
Like,
are we turning into machines soon?
God, I wish.
I'd
oh,
love
man.
To. That'd be great.
My headache might go away if that
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, seriously.
Maybe a headache bot. Oh,
shit, what a nightmare.
Farming headaches.
Ow, 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 ow. Just 24 hours a day.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt
you. That's fine. You meant to interrupt and it was totally fine. What I was going to say is that with the increasing, you know, job loss to machine...
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things that people still only can do.
Yeah.
Like plumbing, like carpentry,
right.
you know.
For now.
But, well, I, what I mean is...
like telling stories.
Yeah.
Like 40 years ago, it
being
was,
creative.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So what then becomes smart? What is smart?
Yeah.
Banjo story?
That's, no, I think
find
that...
Find your terms!
Oh, God!
I think
I'm
that's...
an existential crisis.
In my own butt.
It all comes back to Tingle, man.
It always comes back to Tingle.
I don't know, man. I think that's the boiled away version of this for me is like you'd have to define what smart is, and I don't think you can do
that. And
it.
You can't, yeah.
All right, so Banjo Story, we're tossing it back to you. Tell us what smart is, and then we'll discuss. This
I'll believe
topic.
You, whatever you say.
I'll delete this whole thing.
We'll
do
I
this
no
again.
Longer know. Who am I?
It's fine. We're going to take a break and figure
why
out who
we
are.
Why are we here?
We're going to find out just now.
Nuggets!
Of cracking that their spine. I'm Sean.
I'm Zane.
And I'm the Nugget King.
And we want to know, what did we get wrong this week?
Everything.
No.
Oh, nothing.
Oh, wait.
Some things?
Probably. I probably
maybe.
Said something. And
stick up for your medium. You know, if you're a book reader,
team
tell us.
Books.
No.
Team movies.
What?
Looks like the Captain America movie. Which one are you? Gotta pick a side.
Oh, God, you hate that movie that you've never seen and never will see.
I'm just making fun of the divisiveness of everything. Everyone's gotta have a side. Nobody can just float down the river ride, man. Enjoy the smell of the cut grass.
I don't know what that means about Captain America movie that you haven't seen and won't see.
That's their whole marketing is like, which side are you?
No, their whole marketing is go pay to see the movie.
Okay.
Why is this the thing that we're arguing about?
Okay, it's not the marketing thing that is
oh
everywhere.
Oh my God, it doesn't matter.
Wait, this doesn't matter?
No, it doesn't.
All I know is I'm team that's the marketing and Sean's team that's not the marketing.
I'm team Disney wants your money.
I'm team headache.
Oh, so is Josh. You guys are on the same team. I'm team headache causer.
Oh my God. What were we saying? How do we end this part?
We talk about Chuck Tingle.
Oh, yeah.
What did Chuck do this week?
Tweeting some funny stuff, man.
He did have some funny tweets.
I think that's why he's not a real person. Those tweets are too funny. They're too funny. Like, they're perfect.
We've talked about this on... I don't know how in-depth we've got about it on the show, but we talk about it off-air.
Off-camera.
About whether or not Chuck Tingle is, in fact, Chuck Tingle.
We touched on that last week.
Or if he's... And Josh and Zane are pretty much dug in that, like...
I'm pretty dug in. I can't speak for Zane.
Am I misrepresenting?
I don't know. You know me. I'm down the middle.
I didn't... Going down the lazy river ride smelling the cut grass, man.
What is that analogy?
I just made it up. I'm going to keep saying it until it sticks.
All right.
I'm going to make shirts out of it.
It's going places.
It's got legs.
Legs on the lazy river smelling some cut grass.
Anyway, I think the point you were making was...
The point that I was making was, I think Chuck Tingle is, in fact, Chuck Tingle. I think that
he's the way he is. Who he says he is.
And I think the evidence that points to it for me is the backlog of books that existed before... All of this, like, I don't want to say we discovered him, but all of the...
We discovered him.
The Hugo Awards and the New York Times articles. Like, he's been pumping out Pump Me In My Butt books for a long time, man. Like, he's got a huge, long backlog of intestinal...
But there's lots of
tubage full of...
Stop.
History.
If you stopped Josh earlier, I can stop you now. Stop.
Veto power.
I was trying to do a butt joke.
Yeah, I know.
You're trying to do a butt joke?
It was a gross butt joke.
Oh, man. What? A gross butt joke?
I'm sorry, all of a sudden butt jokes are gross for you?
That one was gross.
Look, life is like a small intestine.
Floating on a lazy river, smelling the cut grass. It's a thing now. It's a thing.
Anyway, tell us what we missed, as always. Check out the subreddit. There's a sticky tweet there for show topics. Contribute to it.
Please
tell us.
Do, because
we need them.
Otherwise, you get a show like this.
Yeah.
This was a good show.
I mean, that's what I mean.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Man.
This is the best show I ever did.
Tweet at us on Twitter.
Yeah, like us on Facebook. Send
Email
us emails.
And also...
KindnessFindShow@gmail.com.
Also, thanks for listening, because without you guys... giving us stuff to laugh at.
Sean wouldn't be able to tell us that we're wrong so much.
Yeah. Well,
no,
that
probably
happens
would.
Anyway.
I don't know about that.
Over text message.
Yeah. I mean,
it gets heated.
It's not telling you that you're wrong. It's just pointing you into the direction where you could be right.
It's pointing you
Thanks,
into...
Thanks, everyone.
Talk more next week.